Good morning and welcome to this part of our service. It's good to be here. We greet you in the precious name of Jesus, the one that we have studied and sang about and worshiped already this morning. I've been blessed and encouraged to be here. You know, I marvel at the fact that we can have people here from all over the place, either all the way back from Peru, and we can worship together as believers this morning. And I'm very excited about that, and thank God for that. Turn for a text to Psalm 138. In our local town here, we have a large tent set up, and out there there's a bunch of signs, and it says Holy Ghost Revival. And God bless you, Judy, for being here this morning. I didn't even see you. Holy Ghost Revival. Are you in need of revival in your life this morning? Am I in need of revival in my life? And as I think about, I've been pondering this subject for a long time, of mental and emotional health, and of where we go in depression. What do we do when life is just not bearable? And how do we handle it? And what does the Bible say about it? I'm going to start off with a story here. I left it out of my notes, and I felt like God put it back on my heart to share, so I'm going to share it. "Jump now," said the voice in Kevin Hines' head, and I did. I was compelled to die. Hines leaped over a rail on the Golden Gate Bridge in September of 2000 and began a free fall that would reach 75 miles per hour on impact. The moment his fingers left the rail, he said, "I felt instant regret. I thought it was too late. I said to myself, what have I done? I don't want to die. I realized I made the greatest mistake of my life." Mr. Hines fell about 240 feet in 4 seconds. He crashed feet first into the water, and he crushed his spinal vertebrae and broke an ankle, but he survived. What drove this man to jump on that bus that morning and ride to the Golden Gate Bridge, get off that bus, and walk or run up to the highest point and jump off? I don't know his story. I don't know his home. I don't know where he's at or where he was at in his mental stability. It says depression, delusions, and paranoia were the conditions that drove Kevin Hines to do this. But today this man is on a mission to help others. He said when he landed, he crushed 3 of his vertebrae. Says when he resurfaced, he was just trying to stay afloat. And he said, "I'm going to drown," as he was bobbing up and down in the water. And he says, "I don't want to die. God, I've made a mistake." He cried out to our only source when we are in that condition. I understand mental health, at least in part. And I'm not taken away from, I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to tell you there's not place for medications and wards. I'm not going into that this morning. What I'm simply leading you to this morning is when he was down, he cried out to God. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." Notice this. "With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." The psalmist says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Verse 3, it says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So I've titled the message this morning, Revive and Restore. And as you think about the words of Isaiah and the words of the psalmist, does it breathe life into your situation, into your heart this morning, as you consider the inspired author, the inspired words of this scripture? Back to Psalm 138. It's going to be our text this morning, at least in part. I don't know what David went through in life and what caused him to stop and write Psalm 138. Someone wrote a quote about this psalm. It was a Bible scholar. I don't remember his name. But he said, David had an understanding no idols could achieve such generous and great results. David knew that this was of the Lord. There was no question in his mind. And as we look at life, as you and I look at our life, the times of grief, the times of depression, the times of pain, the suffering we may be called or allowed to go through, I believe it is vital for you and I to look to the one who can heal, who can revive, and who can restore. Psalm 138, verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the days when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Now listen to them words, answeredest me, and even proper English, I don't think, and strengthenedest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. A short psalm here, but so powerful. And as we look at the word revive and restore, it means the definition is to bring again to life, or to raise up or lift up from depression or discouragement, to renew. Thinking more about what was on David's heart as he wrote this psalm, like I said, it was inspired by God, and it was probably inspired for you and I this morning. David wasn't in search of revival when he wrote this. He just had a knowledge, he had an understanding, he had an experience about what God can do for you. David wasn't barely hanging on. He wasn't about to give up. He was writing about what past experiences, things he had went through, and how God had saved him. His statement was, "Thou wilt." Not maybe. Not almost, but wilt revive me. David had had some times in his life when he was down, and we could go into those. We're not got time this morning. But he had a time when he wanted to die. You remember that? He wanted to die. A David, a man after God's own heart, wanted to die. But he had a belief. He had a confidence that God is here to revive you and I this morning. We read earlier back in Psalm 57, verse 15, it's about how the Lord dwells in a high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And as I read that verse and as I studied that verse, I thought I had an understanding of what it meant. But I was way off. Yes, God looks for humility. God looks for a broken person that's willing to surrender it all. But if you look at the meaning of these words, the word humble here means depressed or low, like physically or spiritually low. The word contrite means to bruise, to beat to pieces, to break in pieces, to crush, destroy, oppress, or smite. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has been through a lot. Few of us can relate to some of those words this morning. Some of those definitions I can't really relate to. Maybe many of us can. Maybe many of you can. But I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit to revive and to restore. Praise God for that. Back to Psalm 138, verse number 1. There's two words here. As we think about our quest for help in any area of life that's got us pulled down. Two words. I will praise thee with my whole heart. God wants all of us. And he wants our depression. He wants our discouragements. He wants our physical problems. He wants our financial stresses. Our closed doors. He wants it all. A song that we sing many times with conviction is "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to him I freely give." You know, to be revived and restored this morning, we've got to open the door of our heart in its entirety. We need a clean and pure heart before God. David said earlier in Psalm 51 in verse number 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And what else did he say? He said, "To renew a right spirit within me." You know, David well knew what it was like to have the stain of sin on his heart. He knew what it was like to be in the greatest depression you could even imagine. And he asked God to create in him a clean heart. So keep that in mind as we go through these couple of points here. It takes our whole heart to find revival and restoration. Verse number 1 again, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. As we think about coming up out of a fog, can we lift our eyes to the giver of life and simply praise him? Psalm 9 and verse 1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. My friends, this morning, that is a statement I think few of us can wrap our hands around. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, opened heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. In Psalm 86 and verse 12. 103:1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Three times David is saying to praise our God with everything, with our whole heart. Have I done that this past week? Have I done that this morning? Have I done that in my low time? Have I done that when I was on top of the mountain? What does it mean to praise God? What does this word here mean? The idea that I got in studying that word out is to revere and to worship with extended hands. In other words, intentionally reaching out to God in praise. Why does the psalmist say over and over for us to do that? Reach out to God in praise. Friends, this morning it's the answer for depression. It's the answer for discouragement. Psalm 111. We get a little more of an explanation of why we need to be in the attitude of prayer. Of praise. Psalm 111 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Think about them few short words. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Reasons to praise. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. How much is praise a part of my depression? How much is praise a part of my discouragement? Or when I'm trying to write a check out on a checkbook that just doesn't have enough money in it? Do I worship and revere God with outstretched hands? You know, the psalm we just read needs to be probably read on a weekly basis, maybe daily. Look at what God has done and is doing, and the blessings we enjoy, physical, spiritual, and many, many, many blessings. The way to revival is to praise and revere Almighty God with our whole heart. And the second one here is in verse number 2, back in our text of Psalm 138, and it's closely related to the first one. I will worship toward thy holy temple, and again praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Worship here is closely related to praise in some ways. But you know, this word means to humbly bow or humbly stoop in homage to God. Another word, another definition is to crouch or fall down flat. Worship toward thy holy temple. Let's go back to Psalm 99. And be encouraged in our worship and what it can do in the life of the Christian. Psalm 91 and verse number 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Verse 5, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances that he gave them. Thou answered them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And I don't want to breathe life into these words that ain't here this morning. But as I think about worship, could it be that you and I, as born-again Christians, don't truly worship? We don't truly reverence his holy name. We really don't humbly beseech him and bow before him. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Think about those words and think about your worship. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Personally, this morning, I want a revival in my worship. I want to come before God as an humble man in need of a holy God. True worship to Almighty God will produce revival and restoration in our hearts. It will restore our soul. It will make the crooked paths straight. We will walk in the light of His presence. True worship will produce revival. Number three, back in Psalm 38. Taking y'all through the Psalms this morning, bear with me. 138 and verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenedest me with strength in my soul. Has God heard my cry this week? Has God heard your cry this week? Have you taken your heart and opened it and poured it out to God and ask for revival? Ask for strength for the battle, courage for the day. Have I received His answer? Verse 3, it says, I cried in the day when I cried, thou answeredest me. And it goes on a step farther and says, thou strengthenedest me with strength in my soul. Back to Psalm 18. Just keep your finger here in Psalm 138. We'll be back. Psalm 18. Verses 1 through 6. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Does that ring true to you this morning? As you think about the world and the conditions of the world, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Praise God this morning that when we cry out to God with whatever's on our heart, that it goes to his ears. David prayed many, many prayers through these Psalms. And we have said, or we have heard our whole life, that prayer is the Christian's vital breath. And we preach and teach about it almost every Sunday. You know, prayer is that line that connects us to God. When I was growing up, we used to sing this song. I haven't heard it for years, but it says, pray, pray. In the old time way, come Christians gather round. Pray, pray how they used to pray when the power of God came down. Pray, pray the only way to reach the saints' high ground. Pray, pray the prayer of faith will bring God's blessing down. Do we pray how they used to pray? Do we pray with the same amount of faith that the martyrs did that went to the stake? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Notice what it says, that which thou knowest not. You know, sometimes our discouragement and our depression comes from a path that we can't see. We don't know the end. We don't even know how to start going down the road. But God is telling you this morning to cry out to Him, and He's going to show you things that thou knowest not. Does that ring true in my life and in your life this morning? A key to revival and restoration is prayer. Back to Psalm 138 and verse number 4. The promises of God. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Have you heard the word of God this morning? Today? Yesterday? When you got up in the morning and you grabbed your cup of coffee and your Bible, did you hear the word of God? Did it speak to you? Did you believe what you read? We could go on for the rest of the week on the promises of God. We have a few minutes left. In verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. This is Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Think about what this writer is saying. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, to the one that is down, to the discouraged one, to the one that is seeking direction on the pathway of life. Mighty and noble, great and high is the glory of God. Yet he hath respect unto you and I. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. This word walk has many meanings through Scripture. But I was really challenged by the taking this word and pulling it apart in this particular context, in this particular definition, in this verse. It says one of the meanings was to and fro or up and down. It also gives us the idea of wandering or a wayfaring man. When we are walking to and fro and up and down, I see a restless night of sleep. When we are wandering, we need a guide. When we are wayfaring, we need a captain. When we are weak, we need a friend. When we stare off in space and our minds whirl, trying to find reasons or answers or encouragement, there God is in the midst of yours and my trouble. And we have this powerful statement here, thou wilt revive me, or thou wilt make me alive, thou wilt renew me. And we get the idea of a hand coming down into whatever circumstances and pulling us to him. It says that thy right hand shall save me. And that word means avenge or defend or deliver or rescue or victory or freedom. We are no longer bound by the mess we're in. We're no longer bound by discouragement and failure and whatever it may be. We are free because God has reached down and pulled us out and revived us, made us new, made us alive. We end up here with this statement too. Verse number 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Or the Lord will see you through in wherever you find yourself today. That which is most needful for you or for me this morning, the Lord is here to perfect it. He's here to pull us through with it, to perform what he started. Why do you and I have such a hard time? Maybe I should just say me. Grasping the sovereignty of God and the understanding that his ways are higher than my ways. God knows what I need. God knows what it's going to take for me to be the person he wants me to be. Why would I ever, ever, ever be discouraged and depressed? Well, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail there because we're all human. We all have our struggles. But I was just encouraged and revived to think about God knowing and seeing and bringing us through whatever he has allowed us to go through. Being the Redeemer, thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forever. Not till next month. Not till we're 40, but forever. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. And then it says, forsake not the works of thine own hands. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Where do you and I fit into the work of Almighty God? (Clears throat) It's been well stated that, "Lord, thy mercy endures forever," is something you and I can be a monument of. We can be a monument of the mercy of God in our lives. And I find that very encouraging. As we consider this subject this morning, I want to thank God for His mighty power to His children. You know, Jesus suffered more than any person on earth. He was rejected on a greater level than any person ever. He left the glory of heaven for the cruel cross. He was tempted in all points, probably worse than any of us, yet without sin. In His lowest point in His humanity, He cried out to the Father. May we allow the Father to revive and restore us. In closing, I want to go back to Psalm 23. And I want to just read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, this morning, can you grasp the magnitude of what this says? As I think about Almighty God and His interest in my life and in your life personally, He wants to see you revived and restored and walking with Him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I just pray that God would just fill each of you here this morning with His presence and with His power, with revival, with restoration, whatever it may be. May God be near and dear to you. Shall we stand together for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, we thank You that we can cry out to You as our Father, knowing that You hear and that You answer the prayer from our heart. Lord, I pray that You'd bless us with the willingness and the commitment to open wide our hearts to You today. We allow You, Lord, to revive us and restore us in whatever area it may be. Lord, if discouragement is knocking at our door, may You help us feel Your presence, and may it flee from Your presence. Lord, if it's sin, if it's finances, if it's our health, may we just reach out and realize that we can walk with You and You are our shepherd. We can cry out to You and yet You hear us. That Your mercy endureth forever. That Your covenants endure for eternity. Thank You, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity of just having You to be our Father. Bless each and every one here this morning. Bless the little children. Bless the babies. Bless the young people. Moms and dads. Grandparents. May You be near and dear to each one. Thank You for loving us and caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.